ईश्वर अनुग्रहेन एव पुंसाम वेदांत वासना. सो ही सेज दैट इट इज ईश्वरस ग्रेस, ईश्वरस प्रसाद, ईश्वरस ब्लेसिंग्स दैट वी आर फॉर्चुनेट टू गेट इवन दिस आइडिया ऑफ स्टडिंग वेदांत. यू नो वी आर सो ब्लेस्ड टू हैव दिस ऑपर्चुनिटी टू स्टडी. यू हैव बीन स्टडिंग फॉर सो मेनी ईयर्स and Bhagwan's grace and blessings are on us and Gurudev's, and that is why we have this opportunity to study. And as Bhagwan had said in the Bhagavad Gita and in other texts, that you have seen me outside, you see me as an idol in the temple or, you know, in your house, but now see me inside. See me as I really am, inside and outside. And in this particular text, Bhagwan Shivji, Lord Shiva, is the teacher. Somebody says, well, I'm a Vaishnavite, you know, why should I study from Lord Shiva? He says, okay, then study Bhagavad Gita, that is given by Vishnu Bhagwan, you know, in the form of Sri Krishna, or study Uddhav Gita, or study Ram Gita. So all the idea is that all these teachings come from one source, as all the Upanishads also came from the higher reality and were heard by rishis. So that is the benefit of studying this knowledge. Just to briefly summarize what we have covered, in the first shloka we talked about the jiva who attains knowledge from the teacher. The second shloka talks about Ishvara, who creates the world as a magician in an illusory, this world is an illusion. And in the third shloka, we talked about Aikyam, that Jiva Brahma Aikyam. Me and Ishvara are one, but at the Lakshyartha, not at the Vajyartha, but the indicated meaning where Brahman alone is expressing as Ishvara and as myself. And the fourth shloka is very practical. We can apply anytime you are seeing anything, or hearing, or smelling, tasting, touching. Instead of paying attention to the object, pay attention to the light of consciousness, which is going out, riding on the mind, and then going out through the senses to illumine the object, whatever I'm seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And the fifth shloka we did last time, as I said, each shloka is very power-packed, and there is so much material in that, in the fifth shloka, where Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji says that those who think I am this body, the sense organs, the pranas, the mind, the intellect, or even shunya, they are ignorant and they don't have the right understanding, because they are very much attached to their body and to their possessions, and their intellect is not fully developed, or maybe they are blind, where even the pramana is given, still they don't listen. That is called andha. And not only they are blind, but they are Pranta Vrisham Vadinaha, they speak a lot, and so they have a lot of following. And in those days, these different schools of philosophy, you know, had a lot of following. The Shunyavadis, the Kshanika Vijnanavadi, all those Vimamsa, all those different schools, the Pragati, Purush and Prakriti, you know, all those different schools of philosophy had a lot of following at that time. So today in this shloka, Shankaracharya ji will be addressing the Shunyavadis, who say that this world came from Shunya, from nothingness. Or they say it is Kshanik Vijnanavad, where the knowledge arises, the object is known, then the knowledge dies, and then a new knowledge arises, and a new object is known. So, like that, those two theories are addressed in more detail in shloka number 6. Lata, would you repeat after us?
Okay.
Rahu grasta divakand karendu sadrusho.
Rahu grasta divakarendu sadrusho.
Maya samachadanat.
Maya samachadanat.
Sanmatra karanopasamharanato. Yo bhut sushupta puman.
Yo bhut sushupta puman.
Pragaswapsamiti prabodha samaye.
Pragaswapsamiti prabodha samaye.
Yah pratyabhijnayate.
Yah pratyabhijnayate.
Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Okay, all together, you can please mute. Rahu Grasta Divakarendu Sadrusho Maya Samachadana Sanmatra karanopasamharanato Yo bhutsu shukta puman Pragaswapsamiti prabodha samaye Yah pratyabhijnayate Tasmai shri guru murtaye namahidam Shri dakshina murtaye. So this shloka starts with Rahu Grasta. Rahu Grasta means swallowed by Rahu. We'll talk about what is Rahu. Rahu Grasta Divakara. Divakara is the beautiful name for sun. Diva means sun, daylight, day. Day and Kara means one who makes day. So sun is one who makes day. It is called Divakara. Indu is one of the names of moon. So, Rahu, Grasta, Divakara, Indu. So, just as the sun and the moon are swallowed by Rahu, Sadrisho, in the same way, Maya, Samachadana. Maya, Samachadana means enveloped by Maya. Taken over or surrounded by Maya, gets confused by Maya. Who? Sun Matra. Even though I am of the nature of Sat, conscious existence, alone, but what happens? Karanaha upsamharana. Upsamharana means withdrawn. So all my karanas, all my sense organs and organs of action, 10 karanas are withdrawn. When? Ya abhuta. When he becomes sushupta. Sushupta. In the deep sleep, puman. This individual, in deep sleep, when he becomes abhuta, when he becomes in sleep, all his sense organs and organs of action are withdrawn, samharanto. And then what happens in the morning? Prak aswapsam. Prak aswapsam becomes prag aswapsam because of sandhi. So prak means earlier, aswapsam. Aswapsam is past tense, like apathat, you know, aswapsam. I slept, swapsam iti. In this way, he remembers when? Prabodha samaye, at the time of waking. Prabodha is morning, waking, samaye. Yaha, this pratyabhijnayate, this knowledge and this memory, pratyabhijna is a very technical word, we'll spend some time talking about it, but pratyabhijna, who gives this knowledge to us, this memory to us, that I slept very well, that Shri Guru Murtaya, that Dakshina Murti Bhagwan, who is of the nature of Guru, to him I prostrate, because it is Bhagwan alone who gives us this knowledge that I had gone to sleep, I slept very well, and then I remember afterwards that I had slept. So Rahu, most of you have heard the story, but in case some have not, when the Amrit Manthan was being carried out by the Devas and the demons, the Amritam was being produced, the Danavas initially stole the Amritam And then Bhagavan Vishnu came in a Mohini roop, in a very beautiful woman's form, and she deluded the asuras into giving her the amritam to distribute, because the asuras were fighting amongst themselves. So the devas were in one line and the asuras were in the other line. And Mohini was smiling at the asuras, deluding them, but giving amritam, immortality, the nectar of immortality, only to the devas. Because she didn't want the demons to become immortal. She means Vishnu Bhagavan. But so happened that Rahu, actually it was not, his name was not Rahu, the demon was Bahuguna. That was the name of the demon. What he did, he figured out that she is giving the nectar only to the devas. So he quietly hid between the sun and the moon, the sun god and the moon god, to get some nectar. And as she was distributing a nectar, a few drops he got, and then immediately the sun and the moon god said, "Oh, wait, this is a demon, he's not one of us." And so then Vishnu Bhagwan obviously didn't want this demon to get immortality. So with his Sudarshan Chakra, he cut his head off. And it is said Rahu only has a head, you know, body is gone. Some people say that body became Ketu. But in this shloka, Rahu only has the head and has been cut at the neck. But Rahu is angry at the sun and the moon because they told on him. So what he does, he's chasing them periodically, and at certain times he catches them and swallows them. And that is the lunar eclipse or the solar eclipse, where the shadow, where the Rahu swallows the sun and the moon, but because he doesn't have a neck, the sun and the moon come out. And that is what we see at the solar or the lunar eclipse, that the shadow in the solar eclipse, the shadow of the moon covers the sun only for a short while, and then the sun comes out of the shadow. And same way in the lunar eclipse, the shadow of the earth covers the moon only for a short while. So that's what they're saying. The sun and moon are as if swallowed by Rahu, but they come out. So Rahu and Ketu are considered to be shadow planets. Among the Navagraha, they are not true planets, they are shadow planets, but they are said to be inauspicious. That's why they say you are under the influence of Rahu or Ketu when the astrology says. So they are inauspicious planets. So just as the sun and moon are swallowed by Rahu and for a while become inapparent, so similarly the jiva, me, even though I am of the nature of Sat Swarup, ever existent, Maya Samachadanat, because of the covering of Maya, enveloping of Maya, what happens? Karana Upsamharanata, all my sense organs are withdrawn and I become sleep. So what is Maya? They say when I forget that I am Brahman and I think I am this jiva, it is Maya at work. You know, like men, when they work, they put a sign, men at work. Women never need to do that because they are always working. But men have to put signs, you know, men at work. So when I think myself to be the jiva, I should put a sign on my forehead, Maya at work. If I think I am that, just carry around that sign. That will remind you that you are not jiva, you are Brahman. So what is this jiva? What is this individuality? I'm sure Niru has covered it in previous classes. But jiva consists of five elements or five components. The gross body, subtle body, causal body. Sthula, sukshma, karana, sharira. The fourth is chidabhas or reflection of consciousness. I think I covered this in this in a previous class, right?
Unconditioned consciousness.
Yeah. Conditioned consciousness, or you can call it chidabhas, the reflection of consciousness into the mind and intellect, giving sentiency to the body. So the mind and intellect, when it is illumined by the light of consciousness, the body gets functional. And the fifth is Kutastha, which is unconditioned consciousness, Brahman, Atman, whatever you want to call. So the Kutastha is the fifth. So the first four are changing. The body is always changing. Mind and intellect are changing. You know, I'm getting older and my hair is growing, my beard is growing. Not only in time, but even morning to evening. Morning, I'm so fresh. You know, I've taken a bath. I've done my puja. I'm full of energy. My mind and intellect is active. And by the evening, I'm tired. And I have no desires. No, even my vasanas are, you know, dying. My mind and intellect is still. And the chidabhas, the reflection of consciousness, also becomes sluggish. Because the reflection depends on the quality of the reflecting medium. Just as the sunlight reflected on the mirror, if the mirror is dirty or shaking, the sunlight will be dirty or shaking. So same way, the reflection of consciousness in Chitabhasa also becomes faded. So all the four keep on changing, body, mind, intellect and the Chitabhasa. The one that does not change is the reflection of, is the actual consciousness called Kutastha, Brahman, Atman. And that is Sat alone. So Sat alone, San Matra, that's why in the second line it is said, San Matra, San alone, Sat alone. San Matra does not mean sun as the sun, but Sat Matra, because of Sandhi rule, becomes San Matra. So Sat alone is existing. And none of the others are there at that time in deep sleep because they have all been withdrawn. They have all been taken away. They are all gone. Nakshanik Vijnanavad, as we have heard, they say that the consciousness comes and goes. A new consciousness arises, that dies. A second one arises, that dies. But that can be easily challenged because you can say, well, if consciousness is like yesterday's consciousness is different from today's consciousness, if that is the case, then how am I remembering what I did yesterday, what I did last year, what I did in childhood? So for memory, you have to have some continuous factor. You cannot say life, you know, consciousness is alive and going in and out. Secondly, if that is the case, whom will you give the karma phalas to? Karma phalas have to be given to the doer, but there is no doer because doer was born, then he died. Another doer was born, he died. So then karma phala would not be allocated. So these Shanik Vijnanvads, they don't believe in God, they don't believe in karma phala, they don't believe in next birth, previous birth. So that can be easily rejected. But then there are the Shunyavadis. And what they say, we'll be addressing in detail in today's class, Shunyavadis are who say, first of all, we all know that in deep sleep, there is no jiva and there is no jagat, right? I am not there and the world is not there for me. The world is still continuing because of the total creation, the creator. But for me, there is no jiva, there is no jagat. So the Shunyavadis say, if there is no jiva, no jagat, no experiencer and experienced, then I am not there. So there is no experience, so what is my condition? Shunya, I am nothing. So I am nothing, I arose from nothing, and I go back into nothing. We'll talk about that a little later. So he say, I was not there. So partly we agree with Shunyavadis that there is no jiva, there is no jagat. But to say that nothing was there, that's not true. We say Atman or the consciousness was there, its expression is not there. It's because Atma is not expressing at that time. There is no jiva, there is no jagat because Atma has gone, has become unmanifest. It is Atma alone is there. There is no jiva, there is no jagat in the state of deep sleep, right? In the state of deep sleep, there is no time. I don't even know where I am sleeping. I could be sleeping on the footpath in Bombay or I could be sleeping on in a palace. But in deep sleep, there is no experience, there is no expression. So this is explained as pratyabhijna. At the time of waking, Dakshinamurti Bhagwan makes it known to me. Now, what is pratyabhijna? It is a very interesting term. It is a very technical word. What pratyabhijna means that something I had seen earlier, now I see it again, but I have memory of that, that I had seen it before, and now I see it again at a different time and a different place. But I can connect. Yes, last week I had seen this, or last month I had seen this, or last year I had seen this. Like last week we were in Jayashree's house doing the class. So, different desha and a different kala. So, last week we were in a different place. We were not at home, but we were in Jayashree's house. So, desha and kala was changed, but the class is the same, right? You recognize that I am the same one who was speaking a week ago on shloka number 5. Today is shloka number 6. So, for pratyabhijna, you need pratyaksha praman that you can see, and you need memory. Not only for pratyaksha praman, but even for upamana praman. You have covered that in the previous class. So like I have seen a cow in India which was very skinny and, you know, very much in poor shape. And then I saw these heavy built Jersey cows in the US, you know, which are very fat, milk giving cows, are very well nourished. But because I have seen a cow similar, even though half the size in India, when I see the cow I hear, I say, oh yeah, this is the same cow, upama. Or even anuman, like I see smoke on the mountain. And I say, if there is smoke on the mountain, there must be fire. And how do I know that? Because in the past, in the cooking, when, you know, when some vegetable got burnt, or in the fireplace, when I see fire, I also see smoke. So I can connect that fire and means smoke. So if I see smoke, that means fire. So that is how we can connect. Same example can be given about a child. He may be only 2 to 3 years old. He doesn't know Sanskrit. He has not attended Dakshinamurti. But he has pratyabhijna, because yesterday he was hungry and his mother gave him a sandwich. So he knows, today I am hungry, I should get sandwich again. So he has pratyabhijna that yesterday my hunger was satisfied with a sandwich, today also it will be satisfied with food. And same thing was in Pavlov's dog. You know, Pavlov was a Russian scientist who, what he did, an experiment where he used to give dogs food and then ring a bell. So every time he gave them food, he rang a bell and they would salivate. They would have saliva. But after a time, what he did, he didn't give them food and he rang the bell. And the dog thought, oh, bell means food. So saliva started coming. So even the dog had pratyabhijna, that in the past, when I heard a bell, that means food was coming. So the point is that there is one consciousness which is continuous, which gives me knowledge of the past and the now. Not only that, but from childhood also. This childhood topic will be covered next week. But the point is that there is one continuous consciousness which tells me I had slept well. Now, suppose I sleep continuously for 6, 7, 8 hours, I have slept well. But suppose I get disturbed at night, I get a couple of phone calls, maybe I'm a doctor on call or the alarm company calls, that there is some problem in your office. So the fact that I slept well or I did not sleep well, who knows? The ego was not there. The ahankara was not there. Ego was not there. But there was this light of consciousness which continuously knows that I slept well. Prag aswapsam iti prabodha samaye ya pratyabhijnayate. So the memory was there. And the experience that for these 6 hours, I knew nothing. So even the absence is illumined by light of consciousness. Like today, Ambika is not here. But last week, she was here. So there is a pramana called Anupalabdhi. So that she was there last week is not here. Today is also known to the light of consciousness. It is only because of that that we are able to remember. It is not ego, because ego keeps on changing. You know, last week it was I was happy, then today I'm unhappy, then I'm something I know, something I don't know. So this continuously changing factor cannot be the memory. It has to be a constant factor called Sat, also called Chit. So there is a law of memory that says that the rememberer should be the same as the knower. That means I know my memories, like I don't know Jayashree's memories or Lata's memories, what she did yesterday or where she went. Only I know my own experiences. So the rememberer and the experiencer have to be the same. So that's why they say there is one light of consciousness, which is the rememberer and the experiencer. But people, the Shunyavadis say that we came from non-existence. That I came from non-existence. That there was non-existence and from this I came. So Gurudev in his commentary said, if I came from non-existence, then I should be non-existent. Just as somebody coming out from gold, if you make ornaments, ornaments have all the properties of gold, right? Everything of gold, that's why you pay money for the ornaments, because there is gold. If there is mud, and from mud you make pots, all pots have qualities of mud, whether you make pot or plate or glass or whatever you make has the properties of mud. So if I came from non-existence, I should have the property of non-existent, means I become non-existent. Now I can say, you know, Jayashree is non-existent or Varsha is non, but if I say I am not existent, no, Gurudev says, no, that I will object. Somebody else's non-existence, I have no problem with that. But my non-existence should not happen. So I can never deny my own existence. So I am of the nature of existence. That is clear. Because if I came from non-existence, I would be non-existent. Right? Because the effect has the qualities of the cause. So that's why if you say then the table doesn't exist because it came from non-existence. We say, no, table came from wood. The computer is non-existent because it came. No, everything exists. If it exists, it came from existence, which is Sat, which is Sat Matra, that alone is. And then these people say it came from atoms. We already covered that last week. Atoms are inert, so they cannot create anything that is non-existent. Then the other point that we want to make, which we had covered before and which has been covered very well in Panchadashi chapter 10, which Prakashanandaji did, which is called Deep, Natak Deep. So the light of the stage in a hall illumines the stage, right? And it is put on before anybody comes into the hall. The light is turned on and then the people come to watch and the king comes, you know, who has sponsored it. And then on the stage come the dancers, the musicians, and so they all perform. So the light of consciousness was there, and then light, in this particular case, the light was there. Then all of these were illumined, the dancer, the musicians, the king, the audience. And then when the show ends and they all go away, the dancer is gone, the musician is gone, the king is gone, the audience is gone, the light is still illumining, still present. So the light of consciousness, so that's why this Brahman is called Sat and Chit and then also infinite. So the idea is that from different scriptures you should combine when you are studying Dakshinamurti. We should not forget that we had studied Panchadashi before, and the same ideas are there in Bhagavad Gita, in the Upanishads. But what some people do, that they have a few ideas and they put that in every shloka, in every Upanishad, in every text they have studied. They have only 2-3 shlokas or couple of ideas. This alone is real. And so every shloka they try to fit into their limited thinking. Okay, this alone is, even some of the commentators of Gita I have seen, they every shloka of the Bhagavad Gita comes back to the same idea. So that should not be, you know, I have to treat each knowledge by itself. So talking about bringing everything back reminds me of a story. So there was this boy, next day the teacher was going to take a test, and he heard from his friend that she's going to ask you to write about cow. So he prepared everything about cow, you know, how she is and all the properties of cow, colors of cow and what she does and milk and everything, horns, everything he prepared, and he was ready to take the test. And he went there, and teacher, instead of cow, she said, write an article on your summer vacation. He said, are mar gaye, you know, summer vacation, I had prepared all on cow. So he was very smart. He said, last summer, I went to my uncle's house. My uncle had a cow, and the rest whole article he wrote about cow. So that should not be our thinking, that I have very limited knowledge and then I apply that in every shloka. So each shloka has to be treated on merit. And whatever scriptures I have studied before, I should know the essence, like we just finished Tattva Bodha, which has all the concepts, the definitions that I should remember, so that will help me in my Vedanta studies. So that is the idea of that. But why were these people who were even so brilliant, these Buddhists, and they had so much knowledge and they had even studied the Upanishads? Gurudev said because they were lacking two things. One is devotion to Guru and to Bhagwan, and second is purity of mind. That is, maybe they may have had, but for you and me, purity of mind and reduction of vasanas is very essential for study. So for study of the scriptures, especially texts like these or any text, I must have purity of mind, remove all the negativities, kama, krodha, dosha, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, anger, etc., and have devotion to the Guru and to the scriptures and to Bhagwan. And in the case of these Buddhists, they had no concept of God, so they didn't believe in God, so they had no devotion. So that shows that there is one light of consciousness which is always present, whether I am there or not, just as the light is illumining the stage, whether there is audience or not, whether there are dancers or not. So even when I am in deep sleep, the light of consciousness and the S is existence are both there. Also, if you look at physiology, this is not mentioned in the shloka, but even in deep sleep, my heart is beating, my lungs are breathing, my digestion is going on, my bone marrow is making cells. So there, I cannot be shunya. There has to be some light of consciousness or some power, you can say, that is maintaining my physiology. So that is Dakshinamurti here, that is Bhagwan, the Lord Himself, who reveals that I am Sat Matra alone, that is Sat and Chit, that is my true existence, that is my true nature, and that is who I am. So Sat is not that in deep sleep there was something called Sat, or something called Brahman, or something called Atman that maintained. It is me alone, I am. That I am that Sat, I am that Chit, I am that Anand. Anand, the infinite, Sat, Chit, Anand, that I am. Brahman is not somebody sitting somewhere or not somebody inside me and outside, but it is my true nature because everything is Brahman. So that we should not forget. We should not think God is somewhere sitting in, you know, somewhere in Vaikuntha, and he's looking down on me and to bless me or curse me. God is within and without. Everything is that. And that is mukti. That is liberation. We are all looking for mukti. We are looking for moksha, for liberation. So to understand I am that, you are liberated. You are mukta. Then there is nothing more for us to experience. But I think I am the, my ego remembers, my ahankar remembers. That's what I think. But the ahankar of last week or last month or last year is completely different from the ahankar of today. And that we'll also do in the next shloka. So it cannot be ahankar, because actually who went to sleep was ahankar went to sleep and ahankar woke up. But in a different form. It is not the same ego. But the one that was continuous is chit, at, and that is what I really am. So that is the essence of this particular shloka. And Shankaracharya ji in Vivek Chudamani says that this ahankar should be thrown away like a broken pot. If a pot is broken, you don't hold on to it because it cannot hold water. So throw away this ego like a broken pot and hold on to I am that. So that is the essence of this shloka. And this we have proved by all three. Yukti, Anubhuti, and we will also do the Shruti. Shruti we have not covered so far. But Yukti, logic, we have seen logically that how the same light of consciousness that was there and that Sat alone was there and in the past, here, now, and will be in the future. So even in deep sleep, I was there as unmanifest as Sat. And Yukti and Anubhuti, that yes, I remember that I slept well, and I remember what happened before sleep, and I remember what happened last month, last year, you know, in childhood. So Yukti, Anubhuti are both there. And Shruti reference, if you look at Chandogya Upanishad, it is said that in deep sleep, I come to my own true nature. That's why deep sleep is very desirable to everybody, right? Everybody loves deep sleep. Because in deep sleep, I am not there, the ego is not there, the mind is not there, all my mental, you know, tortures are not there, all my physical discomforts are not there, my body experience is not there, my mind is not there, my intellect is not there, my ego is not there, the world that has been torturing me is not there, I alone as my true nature am there. That's why in deep sleep we wake up refreshed and we feel very well, I slept well. And if some night I didn't sleep good, maybe I had stress, or I had a lot of phone calls, or if there was any problem, then I wake up unhappy, disturbed. So the Chandogya Upanishad says it very beautifully, that why are we happy in deep sleep? Svam apito bhavati. I come back to my true nature. That's why they say Hari Om. Hari Om means Hari Om. So I come back to home, I come back to my true nature as Sat and Chit only in deep sleep. Chit, of course, is not manifest, is not covered in this particular shloka. Sat alone is covered, San Matra. So that understanding that Sat alone exists in the state of deep sleep, and when I wake up, the fact that I remember, A, I slept very well, and B, what did I do before I went to sleep? You know, I put on my pajamas, and then I lay down, and then I chanted some mantras, or I relaxed my body, and how I went to sleep. All the memory is there. So the fact that the memory is there means I was also there in deep sleep. I, not as ego, not as Varsha, or Anil, or Hansa, but I as Sat. I as existence alone. And then that existence is also consciousness. They are both one. So it is not that existence. That is pratyabhignya. That is...
there is a consciousness who knows that I slept well.
Right, right. So that is... right. So pratyabhignya is the consciousness that knows that I slept well or I did not sleep good, and also that in my deep sleep, I know nothing, no thing. Yeah. So even the absence of body, absence of mind, absence of intellect is known to who? To me, that why Anupalabdhi, even the absence of any body, mind, jiva, jagat, is also illumined by consciousness, just as that lamp in the theater illumines when everybody is there, when the dancer is there. That is the light of knowledge. Even when the dancer is there, the king is there, and even when nothing is there, the light is still illumining. Light was there before everybody came. Light was there when everybody is, and light will be there when everybody is gone. So similarly, when this body, mind and intellect, before I manifested on this earth, I was there as Chit, as Sat. I always existed. That's what Bhagavan Sri Krishna says in the second chapter. There was no time when you and I and the kings were not there. We were always there. We are here and we will always be there because we are all imperishable. Our true nature is Atma Sat Consciousness. The whole second chapter, Bhagavan starts with this knowledge, and then later on he will reinforce that for Arjuna. So the idea is that even when the body, mind and intellect are gone, either in deep sleep or in death, I will ever exist. So that one has to remember. Then when that happens, then you go beyond death. And such a person's knowledge is unshaken. Otherwise what happens, we have this knowledge and then somebody comes and says, what are you talking, Vedanta? You know, that is nothing. Actually, last week I had lunch with a friend who is a Vishishta Advaita, and he says, you know, I don't believe in this Advaita. Shankara doesn't know what he's talking. And he says, I don't want to disappear because, you know, that's what they say, na, in realization, you disappear. He says, I don't want to become nothing and I want to remain separate so I can experience the joy of Bhagavan. You know, that's how the Dvaitins say, that I always want to live. So I told him, I said, you don't become nothing. He said, with realization, you become nothing. I said, no, you become everything. Everything, because you are everything. You are one with the totality.
Everything so it's not, is in you.
Yeah, it's not that you disappear, you become all. And I said, this ego of yours that keeps saying, I want to live forever and I want to know Bhagavan, I said, is the biggest obstacle in your realization. I said, this idea that I want to live, I told him that, you know, that Kabir Das Ji, that if God, you know, Prem Gali Badi Sakri, the path of love is very narrow. If Hari is there, I am not there. If I am there, Hari is not there. So I said, as long as you are there, God will not appear. You have to disappear. You have to disappear for God to manifest. So I hope he understood. I hope all of us. So the point is that people have this wrong idea of Vedanta, that once I attain enlightenment, then I will disappear, I will be nobody. No, I will become all. So that's why mukti is so much cherished and praised by Advaitins. Those who don't have Advaitic knowledge criticize because they don't understand what Shankaracharya ji said, what Puja Gurudev has told us. So that is Advaita, that actually whether you believe you are with Brahman or not, you are Brahman. You are Brahman, you are in Brahman, you are Brahman. So whether even when you believe, like this person said, I am not Brahman, I don't believe in Brahman, I want to be separate, he's still Brahman. Even when he's having lunch and criticizing Shankaracharya, he is still Brahman, whether he admits it or not. But the thing is, once you have knowledge, then you become fearless. That's why one of Lord Shiva's name is Abhaya Pradam, one who grants fearlessness. Because fearlessness means I know I am Brahman, then nothing can happen to me. My body may perish, at the most somebody may kill me, but I never die. And that is the message of Bhagavan Sri Krishna also, na jayate mriyate va kadachit. That is never born, never die. So that is the essence of this shloka. Each shloka is a gem. There is so much material in this text. I mean, nothing Shankaracharya ji has left untouched. So it's each one is, this one is also a little difficult. I don't know if I was able to explain it or not. I tried, you know. So anybody has any questions, comments, anything to add?
Nothing else. the Ananda also in the deep sleep is experienced by everybody. So that shows that it is Atma is Anand Swarup also.
Yeah, Neeru said that even the Anand is experienced by everybody. So Atma is not only Sat, Chit, but also Anand. That's why in deep sleep we wake up very happy. That's what even Chandogya said.
Can be many.
Swam apito bhavati. The person becomes very happy.
It is also unconditional because there are no objects, no condition, nothing. It's just the Anand Swarup.
Right.
It's without any. So that proves. So that proves that it is.
Right, so it is unconditioned, it is not Anand depending on objects. Because in deep sleep there are no objects, it is unconditioned bliss, which is Sat Chit Anand, and that is my true nature. So I am happiness, not I get happiness from objects. But I am happiness, whether object is there or not there, whether person is there or not there. I am happiness, I am Sat, I am Chit, I am Anand. So that I should constantly remind myself. I am not Jiva. If you think I am Jiva, please put a sign. Maya at work. On your forehead. Yeah, Sharad.
Just a question. You had mentioned Vishishta Advaita. Is the knowledge or understanding of Vishishta necessary to go from Dvaita to Advaita?
No, actually, there are three stages. It's good to know what they are, but actually, the Advaita alone is real. Other two are, they were actually great acharyas, Madhavacharya and Vallabhacharya. I'm not putting them down. But it depends on the level of the seeker. See, at the beginning level, we all start as Advaita, that Bhagavan is all-powerful, I am little, I am small, God is all-knowing, and I have to go to the temple and pray to God. And then God will be pleased. So that is, it's fine. Most people believe that. Vishisht Advaita means I am part of God. That means I am a little drop in this ocean, or I am a wave in this ocean. So we say that Vishisht Advaita is not far from Advaita, because there they say I am a part of God. But one of God's nature is partless, cannot be divided. God cannot be divided into parts, because then there would be so many gods, right? Each, there are 7 billion, so 7 billion parts of God, and then all the insects, and all the insects, and all the planets, and all the plants, and the birds, and so God cannot be divided into that many beings, because God is partless, cannot be modified, cannot be divided. So to think I am part of God is also ignorance. That's why Hanumanji was asked, I think everybody knows, that what is your relationship? And Hanumanji said, as a body, I am your servant. As a mind and intellect, as a jiva, I am part of the total mind. But when I understand my true nature, then you and I are one.
Same.
So it is a stepwise progression. It depends on what you are identifying. If you are identifying with the body, when you are working in the world, work as his servant. I am working as his servant. And then when I am sitting in Vedanta class, he and I are one. So it is just the change of understanding, but the reality is that Brahman alone manifests as all of us. So that we should never forget.
Actually, it will come in ninth, some later shloka, that Brahman is... I think
is deluded. Even the deluded
delusion alone is Brahman alone.
Right. Even the
eighth shloka.
That the deluded jiva is also Dakshinamurti. So
yeah.
That will be addressed.
Yeah, in eighth shloka, that's what it is.
Right.
And then ninth comes the upasana.
And tenth is
asking. Yeah.
Tenth is Phalashruti. But the seventh, next week, we'll talk about the continuity from childhood, youth, old age and so
Pratnibhigna.
That's a little different term but it is the same thing, the continuity.
Another one point, if you guys want to hear, is Swamiji said that in a deep sleep, there is no Vishesh Jnana. See, there is a Samanya Jnana and there is a Vishesh Jnana. Vishesh Jnana means you have the knowledge of something, and that is what we are all very used to. We always want to know something. We always want to know language, know this, know that. In the world, that's how we know of knowledge, of something. So that is called Vishesha Jnana. Samanya Jnana is knowledge of all, which gives you knowledge. So in deep sleep, there is no Vishesh knowledge. There is no Vishesh Jnana. Because all the objects are gone, all the upsaranaha, bolana karanu. It says
karan upsamharana.
So kate all of them are gone. You are in deep sleep. There is no Vishesh Jnana. So there is only Samanya Jnana, which is consciousness.
Right.
So there is Sanmatra, and then because of this, all the karana, the Samanya Jnana is there. So that is consciousness. So I just thought that point I'll make. Because generally, you know, that is what we are used to it. That's what we think, oh, there is no jnana, means there is no atma there. So that is why.
Yeah, there is no knower, that's what we think.
We think there is no knower.
Thank you. That's a good point.
So I just
thought. Samanya Jnana and Vishesh Jnana.
And that comes in other places also. So it will come in. But we should know.
Thank you. Anything else, Lata, you want to add? You can unmute.
I was just thinking when you were doing this shloka, I at times I recite this in Pratasmarami. Pratasmarami Riti Sanspurada Atma Tattvam. Satchit Sukham Paramahans Gati Maturiyam. Yat swapna jagar shushuptam avaiti nityam. Tad brahm nishkalam.
Nishkalam aham.
Nishkalam aham.
Can you?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can briefly translate. It's a whole 1 hour talk. But Prata Smarami, in the morning I remember Smarami, Riti Sanspruta Dhatva Tattvam. The one consciousness that is in my heart illumining everything, samsphura means sphurana means illumining. And it is of the nature of sat, chit, sukham. Sat, chit and consciousness. This is a good one to meditate every morning. You should chant this. Sat, chit, sukham.
Parama.
And paramahams gatim. Paramahams are the great saints, great knowers of truth. They are called paramahams, the realized masters. So paramahams gatim. So that is the goal sought by paramhamsas, all the great knowers of truth. Paramhams gatim turiyam, and it is the fourth stage. It is neither waking, dream or deep sleep, but it is the fourth stage called turiya. Maybe one of these days, if we have time, I'll address that, because the Mandukya covers that. Satchit sukham paramhams gatim turiyam. Yat swapna jagra sushuptuma vaiti nityam. So swapna jagra sushupta, dream, waking and deep sleep, avaiti nityam is always there. That brahma nishkalam aham, that brahman nishkalam, without parts, without divisions. That's why Advaita, Vedanta and Avishishta Advaita cannot be, because Brahman cannot be divided. That brahma nishkalam aham, I am that Brahman. Nacha Bhuta Sangaha, I am not this collection
of all these Bhutas.
All these Pancha Mahabhutas. I am not that. So it's very beautiful. Shankaracharya ji has composed that also. And that is a very good one to remember in the morning. Actually, there are three shlokas. But you mentioned the first one, but there are two more also after that.
Kusum,
you want to add something?
Kusum wanted to.
Not really, but I was thinking about what Sharadji asked, whether we have to do the Advaita before we go to Advaita. And I remember Vimalji once mentioned that most of the religions are Advaita. And we have to go through Advaita to enter
reach
the halls
the
of Advaita.
Advaita.
Without that, you cannot straight go to Advaita.
No.
And knowing that. So he had stressed us, I think, last year or year.
Yeah, because upasana mein you have to have
all go to Advaita to reach the halls of the Advaita, finally. Unless we are from the Purva Janam, have all this done, then you can go straight, like Raman Maharshi ji and all those great saints, they just went directly. So then it is there, but you have to go through the Advaita. That's what he stressed, and I wrote down those points. So I just thought I mentioned that. And the second is in sleep, we said, like Guruji was saying, which is so true.
is that even when you are practicing Dvaita, actually you are non-dual. The reality is non-dual. And also, how do you transfer Dvaita to Advaita? By seeing that this God I am worshipping is in all forms.
Yeah.
And is inside and outside. That's why Antar Bahishchatat Sarvam Vyapta Narayana Tishthati. This Narayana I am worshipping is not only outside but inside, and all forms are Him. So then it transfers to Advaita. Otherwise you are always stuck that I am separate, and the complete enlightenment is not possible as long as the separation.
Even in Gita, Bhagavan says there are different kinds of bhaktas. You know, there are samanya bhakta, then medium, and then uttam bhakta. He talks about that.
Yeah.
You know, those who think God is only in temple, and as long as they are in temple, they are, you know, God is there. Outside they come, there is no God there. Yeah. And there are some, they say, no, God is in other places too. So they talk to others nicely. And then they don't see Him in a... So like that, they are different.
Right.
And that's you do have to go through that. And that our... Yeah, we should become uttam bhaktas.
Jayashri?
But the knowledge, as Murali is telling, that will take you from Advaita to... from Advaita to Advaita.
Yes.
Once you have knowledge, then when you're praying, it makes such a difference.
Alright. Thank you. Jayashri, you would like to add something?
As long as you have body consciousness, you really are practicing Dvaita.
Yes, of course.
There is a separateness as long as you have body consciousness.
Of course.
Only that's the reason, I mean, you have to go through Dvaita.
Right.
You have body consciousness, so you're definitely separating others. I mean, you know.
Raman Maharishi said, na?
Raman Maharishi said, if you say you are body, then God has a form. If you say you are formless, then there is nobody else, because formless means all pervading. So the idea of studying Vedanta is do not just remain limited to body. Yes, you use the body to function and to worship God, but inside you should. That's why when we know we offer a flower to God, what we are saying that when I touch it to my heart and outside, that God who is within me, I'm seeing Him outside.
Yeah, that is.
And that is the idea of the flower you touch to your heart and then you offer. So the idea, but actually God is not separate. That one has to very clearly understand. And same thing Mirabai also, you know, she always used to think Krishna is separate, but when she talked to her guru and communicated, he told her that. And then she reached that state of oneness. And it is said when she dropped her body,
she became
one with God, because they went into the temple. They only found her sari, her clothes. Her body had merged with the totality. So she knew by the end that is the final experience of all, whether it's Tukaram or Gyaneshwar Maharaj or everybody, that the oneness of that. That's why even Christ said, the Father in heaven and I are one. He who has seen me has seen the Father. That means he was also, even though he was talking to fishermen, so he had to talk Dvaita, but his own understanding was Advaita. Thank you all for comments. Anything else? Okay, we went 2 or 3 minutes over, but it was good class. Thank you so much. So we'll end with the closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchit dukkhabhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Thank you very much. Hari Om.